Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, the Department of Labor fiduciary rule now replaces the suitability standard. But what does this actually mean for investors? Are they just definitions of words meaning the same thing? Today, we have on Frank Congemi, who is a financial advisor with over 30 years of experience, holds over 25 state licenses in accounting, but also is an invited commentator. You've seen him on NBC, CBS, CNN, even Fox News, just to name a few. I'd first like to welcome, introduce our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing good today. It's another beautiful day here. And, of course, good afternoon, Gary Ostro.
Good afternoon, Phil.
And last but certainly not least is Michael Santucci.
How are you? Gary Ostro and I are just a little, we're a little preoccupied today because we may have to fly out of state Sunday night because there's a judge we're waiting for to rule and he hasn't ruled yet. So
if not, then Chicago.
We have to actually appear.
And the notice you're
hearing. Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to go somewhere and hide.
I didn't think you're going to mention the city name, but hopefully.
Right. Yeah. I'm not giving up my client.
We won't mention the judge's name.
Let me know. Maybe in time for a taste of Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great place to go.
The notice you're hearing said 10:30 p.m. Monday. Ooh. So we're getting jerked around a little bit.
That was a typo, by the way. We did figure that out. Yes. But if we have to go, we'll have a great lunch.
So, yes, we will.
Yes.
We'll
absolutely.
Go anyway. Yes.
Bring back Luminati's half-baked pie for me, will you please?
Absolutely.
You know, in late March 2017, the world's two largest asset managers, Vanguard and BlackRock, called for a significant delay to the rule, considering the confusion of the Department of Labor's fiduciary rule. I'd like to welcome Frank Congemi. Good afternoon, Frank.
Greetings and salutations of the day.
You know, Frank, it's funny. When I turned on the news, such as Fox News Channel, I see this guy that reminds me of Al Pacino, and it's you. And then I called you, and he said, yes, it was.
I know. I've been known to go to the dark side.
Yep. And then the next day was on CNN. You're constantly on the major networks commenting on issues regarding investments. But in this particular case, you've been invited to speak about this Department of Labor fiduciary rule. And, Frank, the Department of Labor fiduciary rule, what does it mean, and what is it supposed to do for the investor?
Well, apparently it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but you can go all the way back to the Investment Advisor Act of 1940, and in Section 36 you will find the fiduciary rule. So it's been around since 1940. In the shortest way possible to explain this is certified financial planners thought this would be really good for their business model if there was one standardization for all clients. Of course, just like law and just like medicine, you can't tell an attorney, you can't tell a doctor there's only one standard of care. So obviously those of us who are not certified financial planners don't feel that there's a single standard of care. And so what we're doing is we're wrestling with the regulators, if you will, as to what the actual fiduciary rule would be, Mind you, my regulator, FINRA, will not enforce the fiduciary rule or different company policies that come down until the primary regulator, which is the Securities Exchange Commission, who was originally charged with writing the fiduciary rule under the original Dodd-Frank, if you want to call it a rewrite, because, again, it was from the 1940 Act. Until that reg comes down, nobody knows what they're doing.
Frank, this is Michael Santucci. Let's just back up a little bit for our listeners, and how about even for us?
Sure thing.
Walk us through what the fiduciary rule is.
Basically, I can see it as I can explain it, is you have two courses of business. You have a transaction. That's where you buy or sell something. It's a one-off. Or you have a fiduciary standard. When you have a fiduciary standard, usually it's a much deeper relationship. Mm-hmm. You're not just dealing with buying and selling securities, but you might have a power of attorney. You might have a brokerage account that you have discretion in. You might have life insurance, long-term care insurance, disability insurance, where you're really making decisions for an entire family or an entire business, and you have a deeper responsibility. So a fiduciary standard is basically you are going to treat that client as you would treat a member of your own family, going back to what you were saying, maybe not like your own family, but you would give a standard of care where it could stand up to scrutiny, not only by your own firm, but by a regulator, or if you had a arbitration, somebody who's judging what it is that you're doing would say, yes, this was a relevant decision and this was in the client's best interest.
So this rule and the, you know, the duty of care that comes with it, it's going to differ depending on what type of person we're talking about, whether it be a stockbroker or someone that sells annuities or an insurance broker. And there are different standards for these different people, and that's what you're saying. And this new reg would kind of standardize that?
Correct. So okay. when you talk about an insurance agent or you're talking about a stockbroker, there previously you only had a standard of care which rose to Reg D, which is suitability. Is the investment suitable? It's a one-off. It's a transaction. But when you're dealing with a fiduciary, a standard, you're not
higher just, standard.
Well, okay. You're also looking at cost. You're looking at suitability. You're looking at how does this, let's say, compare to an overall standard. In other words, how would we operate if it wasn't this person, it was a different person, same scenario, would you do the same thing?
Well, I think, you know, with fiduciary standard of care, it requires the financial advisor to act solely in their client's interest. In other words, to put their client in front of themselves in all cases. Why would that ever be wrong? Why would that ever be bad?
I can give you a couple of different reasons. A lot of time.
Two.
Okay. So right now, we have clients that don't pay any, they pay a management fee, mm-hmm. but they get all their checks, their ACHs, their exchanges, their buys, sells, everything for free because they pay a single fee.
Okay.
What's happening now is different broker dealers are forcing advisors to push their clients from a direct way of going business where they own their investments to brokerage accounts where the transparency is lost, where now there are maintenance fees, there are buy-sell fees, mm-hmm. ticket charges, other fees just to be able to do business. And to be honest with you, there are a lot of clients still in this day and age, they're not sophisticated enough to handle the brokerage business, the way you do business.
Well, that would be all the more reason why there should be a fiduciary standard of care.
Well,
I'm first.
Not saying there shouldn't be a fiduciary standard. I'm saying that every situation that you're in does not require a fiduciary standard.
Well, what would be a situation that doesn't require it? Because I can't think of any.
Leonardo Perez comes to me and he likes what his brother's doing. He wants to put $5,000 in his IRA. That's
okay.
Not a fiduciary standard. That's a mutual fund sale.
But why would that still? Why would the fiduciary
right
standard
now,
of care
under,
not apply there? You're
well,
putting
there,
your client in front of yourself.
There's
You're
one reason.
Following his instructions. Yeah.
There's a whole minority of voters, but a big block of voters that think basically any regulation of any industries is a bad thing because it's bad for the economy and bad for business.
Well, no, it's unreasonable.
Now
regulation.
I think that's an extreme position, and I'm exaggerating, but effect.
According to the certified financial planners. A fiduciary standard of care requires that a financial advisor act solely in the client's best interest when offering personalized financial advice. I really can't find anything to pick on with that.
Well, here's the
I agree with that.
The example you just gave is not personalized financial advice. They're asking you to move money for them.
No,
so that wouldn't
for your advice as to which fund they should purchase.
Okay. So you don't think that you should be acting solely in their on their behalf when giving them that advice?
And I always do. However, I shouldn't be expected to work for free.
Well, who said anything about working for free? I'm asking about the standard of care.
Well, when you're talking about a standard of care, in order to stand in front of somebody and to be able to deliver the education, to be able to do the paperwork, which is a requirement, it takes time, and time is money.
Of course.
So in order to pay for my time to be able to deliver that standard of care, I have to get paid.
But if you don't get paid, don't give the advice, then you don't have to worry about the standard of care.
Then you have a whole bunch of low- and middle-income people who do not have access to somebody but me, and I do a lot of pro bono work.
Okay.
Okay.
But
so what happens is when you're sitting in front of Leonardo Perez, $5,000, you cannot do that transaction and be compliant with regs at 1%. Can't happen.
Well, then don't do it at 1%. Like, I don't understand. You know, attorneys have to have a fiduciary standard with their clients.
So then what we
if
would
a client's
do...
coming to me with a $1,000 case versus a $100,000 case, I still have to put their interests before mine.
Right. And nobody's saying that you shouldn't.
That's what a fiduciary standard of care is.
Right, but you're talking, it referenced a transaction. A transaction does not rise
to a fiduciary
standard.
Well, actually, it references advice.
Well, it references advice, and you have a duty, a suitability standard to provide the best advice based on what it is that client is asking you for.
Okay.
Every single person that you see, you don't provide the same legal care. You might go through the same preparation. You might go through the same review process. You bring yourself to the table because you're going to be able to represent that person, and you know what you
but
can
do. But I still
do.
Have to put their interests first.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the business.
I don't think
so then why shouldn't any financial planner?
Anything but putting the client's interest first.
So where's the controversy?
Where's the argument? Well, that's what I'm asking.
Well, that's the question. Where's the controversy?
So right now under the fiduciary rule.
I have an example that illustrates Frank's point, I think, and maybe an extreme example. Some investors may want kind of like a do-it-yourself, like to invest on their Merrill Lynch app where they're paying $6 a trade. Or they may want to go right to a Vanguard fund where they're paying nothing to buy Vanguard funds. Now, the people managing that, they're not earning, that's just basically transactional. There's no advice really being given. I think that's an extreme example
not
in that situation.
That's not a fiduciary.
Whoever's
standard.
Involved in that, I don't think there should be a fiduciary example.
Right.
But anything where there is advice, I'm leaning toward
but
where
there's
Gary's
no advice
saying,
there and you're not acting as an advisor. You know, if it's personalized financial advice, you should be acting, the financial advisor should be acting.
So is this an issue that the financial industry has a big lobby and,
it seems like they're fighting against something that's good for the consumer.
Is it really the hardworking broker that
is good for the consumer? All we're saying is that we should have autonomy in how we get paid.
How does it matter? That's what I'm missing.
Okay.
How does how you get paid have to
so
do with
right
this?
Now we have clients who pay us a management fee and they don't pay anything.
Okay.
So what's happening now is they want us to take our clients off that platform, put them into brokerage accounts where in addition to paying a fee, these clients will be subject to other types of commission.
Who's they?
The broker-dealer world, the people who license independent advisors. They don't want us to be so independent. And so what happens is when you start forcing advisors to use proprietary software, that's going to develop the suitability that normally I would do. When you're telling me I have to keep my client's assets in a certain way, which restricts both transparency and my client's assets.
It sounds like it defeats the purpose.
It's making them less safe, and it's costing them more money. It's basically, to me, it's a scam.
But I feel like I'm missing something, because a fiduciary standard of care is one sentence. You've got to put your client in front of you when you give them personal advice.
Well, we always do that.
But what does not everyone.
Listen, if I had the head of FINRA right here, he would tell you that only 6 or 7% of all advisors are bad. So what is all this crap about fiduciary rule for everybody? It's not applicable in every case.
Well, what would be a single example of when it wouldn't be applicable? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to argue with you, but I'm asking about examples.
Yeah, you are going to argue with him.
So here,
he's a lawyer.
Stand down, Gary. Give me examples about, broker deals are trying to push you into accounts. That seems like they're going against the standard of care.
Yes.
All the more reason
it's exactly the opposite intent of Dodd-Frank and the fiduciary rule is what the broker dealer world is trying to do.
Okay, but so that's all the more reason why we need a stronger fiduciary standard of care then, isn't it?
You need a fiduciary care that is like Rick Ketchum, who was the former head of FINRA, believed in is a dual standard of care. There is not only one standard of care. That's a communist country.
And what would be the other way? Well, it's not a communist country. It's a standard of care.
I have open architecture. When I meet with a client or I meet with the attorney of a client and they tell me what the client wants to do, I have to be able to give them options and choices. So I hate to be political and use this analogy, but if you know any friends of yours that are doctors, they'll tell you that when a patient comes to them, they might have 11 or 12 courses of care. But because Obamacare only paid them 3 or 4, they could not even discuss those courses of care with the client because they weren't getting paid.
But why
That's why Obamacare blew up. And this is Obamacare for the financial services industry.
Legal options for people that I can't perform, and I'll say, you'll have to seek another attorney for this because it's outside my area. I'm telling you the options there.
Exactly. I want to know one scenario where a professional shouldn't be putting their client first.
There isn't any.
I keep hearing that there is. A fiduciary standard of care means
when they do their independent thing, they're doing something on their own.
They still got to put their client first.
But there's not a problem with the fiduciary standard. It's a problem with the business of being able to provide financial services under a fiduciary standard.
But what situation would you ever want to give advice where you don't put your client first? Like, what would be the opposite standard?
Well, I don't think
then the client?
Yeah, but I don't think that's the debate. We always put our clients
first. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get to the bottom of what's the
idea,
debate.
The idea is a regulator comes behind me, and with your experience, I want to be able to show you that I did put my client first.
Okay.
My paperwork would be in order. The investment would be suitable. Not only would it be suitable, it would probably be on the Morningstar Fantastic 50 list, which is better than anything. That would be the cheapest, it'd be the best performing, and have the best ratings. That demonstrates my standard of care. But if I can't actually perform those abilities because the way I'm doing business, my broker-dealer won't allow because I am not charging enough because of the way they want me to structure the business – we push back on that. We want to be able to deal with the client fairly. However, on whatever the client needs, right now we're being restricted and we're saying either this is not compliant or, better yet, it was compliant, but you know what? We're afraid of the regulators, so we're going to do it this way. It's more expensive.
Too much regulation.
Are you saying that Dodd-Frank's pushing you away from being a fiduciary, though?
I work very hard for Donald Trump to repeal Dodd-Frank.
Okay. I'm not a fan of Dodd-Frank.
It was written by two reputationally challenged senators who were trying to dodge something
That's
else.
Being kind.
So is the problem that Dodd-Frank takes you too far away from the fiduciary standard of care, or that it's trying to push you to it?
I said, the fiduciary rule has been on the books since the Investment Act in 1940. It's been there forever. So we always had an obligation to work in the client's best interest.
Okay.
All I'm saying is the way this law was written and the way it was framed and who worked this law on the inside of the Beltway did it with a specific intent to create one standard of care to represent certified financial planners. It doesn't represent all the 700,000 investment advisors. And I know guys across the country whose kids are in the business just like mine. We've been doing this 30, 40 years, and we all care about our clients. As a matter of fact, our clients are friends of ours, families of ours, so we care.
So is the problem that, you know, the regulators are having a problem coming up with a coherent statement of what it means to perform under the standard of care?
I think that the SEC, probably because of the political affiliation in the last administration, never got around to actually writing the fiduciary rule, which they were the only ones charged in the Dodd-Frank bill with doing that. And because of a political act, they shoved the DOL in there, because that was basically an inside job, the DOL.
What's the DOL?
Well, I have no DOL license.
Department of Labor.
Yeah. And so that was a totally political move. They thought they would go in there and they would get this done. But what's happening is there's all sorts of unintended consequences when people who don't have securities license start messing with securities law. And that's what you're seeing now. And this stuff is going to start leaking out all over the place. And if you don't really have a command of securities law and you don't really understand the fiduciary rule and you haven't been doing this for a while, I can see where it's very confusing. My clients are like, whatever you decide, that's what we're going to do, because we don't like all this paper. We don't like all these notices. We don't like all these changes. Well, consistency is an art form.
But isn't the fiduciary rule in a way to an effort to back away from the current disclosure-based rules?
I have no problem.
Let's put all this information in front of the consumer and let them make a decision.
I think there should be more. You know what they should
disclose?
Why?
So we kill more trees without people reading
stuff. In the state of Florida, they should disclose all the nominal or underperforming companies that provide no absolute value to the consumer and remove their registrations and their ability to do business in the state. Because I've had all the worst financial advisors in the world and you only gave me the best products, everybody would have a good result.
Sure.
There's a lot of crappy products out there and these people are paying political contributions and these companies need to just be moved out, especially from the state of Massachusetts.
Let me just make sure I get this straight. So what you're saying is that there's too much regulation and need to back off, not pass old laws, new laws, but enforce the old laws instead.
That would be one point, yes.
Okay, and what's the other half of it? Like, what's the other half that has everyone up in arms on this?
I think that every day people like me compete against free.
Okay.
And so what is the reason that somebody would have somebody like me and pay me something more than free? So if you've ever seen a show on PBS called Roadmap for Retirement with Ed Slott.
I'm
an Ed Slott master elite advisor. 70 million people have seen our television show. None of my clients in 31 years has ever lost money. I have an absolutely spotless record the entire time that I've been in this industry.
Mm-hmm. What?
So people are paying me for my knowledge. I'm a retirement planning income distribution expert.
Wait a minute. Wait. I just want to get this straight. Nobody, none of your clients have ever lost any money?
I can give you a couple investments that you can look up right now.
That's amazing.
Well, I'm asking you to bet. Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
That's what he said. Right,
that's
now.
What I said. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
These regulations are not meant to protect people against people like Frank, because Frank is a scrupulous.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If you have a,
exactly.
But
I, agree
but
with
I see this as just the classic, you know, example in every industry. It's the political fight. I'm not going to name names, but some people are extreme and think any regulation of any industry is bad because it rises the cost of doing business, it raises the cost of doing business, and it's bad for the economy. And there's another side that want to try to control everything. So, you know, where is that balance? But, you know, back to Gary Singer's...
Well, the balance is
back to Gary's first original point, I completely agree with. Their industry should be regulated
around.
Just like the legal industry. Your clients' interests should come
first.
Right. No matter if you're giving legal advice to the poor, regardless of what, even when we give pro bono advice, we're still governed by
the same standard
of ethics, the same
point.
Rules. And I agree
just
with
because it's a
for
free
once,
account
I completely
doesn't
agree
lower,
with you.
Lower a standard. Right. The problem
I don't think
is
anybody suggested
you get a monstrosity like Dodd-Frank, massive Obama progressive. You know, Pelosi overregulation
in
play.
I didn't mention names.
It drives down protection for consumers and creates these problems.
It's not Republican.
You know, you need some regulation, right?
Oh, you need a lot of regulation.
But you don't need overregulation.
Is the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that we arrived at.
And you and your cronies out there, Santucci,
you
have too much regulation. They want to regulate what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, what you smell, and how you invest.
And tax it.
Same standard for all the people that you see that come before you. However, unlike you, you could do a payment plan, you could do a credit card, you could do an asset, you could do, there's lots of different choices that you have and how you get paid. They're telling us there's only one fiduciary standard to get paid. And to me,
What would that be? What's
Gary?
You can only do a fee.
That's where it's intrusively inappropriate.
So there's no yield spread, no back end money.
Well,
you got to be upfront with how you get paid.
But Gary,
we are upfront. I mean, even with the trail commissions that are built into the asset shares.
That's on page 7,432.
Well,
of the
no, because if you're an investment advisor and you're criminally and civilly responsible for what you do, you have to put up your ADV upfront.
Okay.
And so you have to break out all your fees and where they come from and how you charge. And we've always disclosed that. But we should, after the client agrees to it, be able to do business with them any way the client chooses.
Well,
and the client's the one losing their choices.
We've got to stop right there.
Good point.
You get it now?
I'm all about choice.
You know, Frank, you'll definitely be coming back. And for those that remember the community show, this is Frank Congemi, who was actually on our show for probably over a year.
Can we get a tip before Gary
Osho just literally handed him his wallet? just take it. Make me money.
But Frank, let me tell you.
Growth Fund of America, last 42 years, 13.5% expense ratio, 0.61.
Now I gave him my wallet.
Very impressive. And I don't know anything about what that means.
And Frank
sounds
came
very
on,
impressive.
Frank came on not to promote himself, not to promote his firms or his investments. And so normally we, at this time, we ask what's the best way to contact you.
The mine line number in Deerfield Beach, Florida is 954-428-4995.
All right. Well, on that note, I want to thank you for coming on. It was a great show. I had a lot of fun talking to you. And, of course,
thank you. I had fun, too, I think.
And hopefully our listeners will figure it out when you hear it. And on that note, folks, be cool and
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.